Hi, welcome to Conexión Circular. So this is your hub for sustainability and beyond. I am Viridiana Bello and I'm happy to have with us Nadia Beaumessieux. She's a global sustainability leader and expert in ESG. Also, she talks about corporate governance and communications. Nadia's passion lies in being a chain of agent. She is very active on LinkedIn, so you have to follow her, all her work. And one of the most important things that Nadia plays a key role in Dubai sustainable finance, because she works in different groups and she advocates about diversity and inclusion. And the most important thing about Nadia, that is advisory board of the Capital Club Sustainability Action Society and mentors future leaders in Wiser by Masdar. So thank you so much for accepting our interview, and I'm happy that you are here to share your insights.
Thank you for having me.
So before to dive to the specifics, Nadia, let's break it down for our sustainable newbies, because we are not experts in this area. So could you explain to us in simple terms what is ESG and what do you think is essential for the individuals and businesses?
Yes, okay, so ESG is an abbreviation or an acronym, and it stands for Environmental, Social, and Governance. And it's really like a framework for assessing a company's impact on the planet, the people, and its own practices. And why is it important? So I think ESG can help a company to make informed decision making. It can also help with mitigating risk or managing risk. Overall, if I can just dive into a little bit of the dimensions. So within environment, what do we talk about? On the environmental side, we talk about climate change, we think about pollution, we think about the way we use resources, the energy efficiency, waste management. These are all topics that would be covered within environmental. On the social side, it's really around people. So employee well-being, diversity and inclusion, human rights, labor practices, supply chain ethics, and community engagement. On the governance side, which is really the glue that keeps it all together, we talk about board composition, executive compensation, anti-corruption measures, transparency, and ethical business practices. So that's like overall what we're looking at. And from a business perspective, it's really helping about reducing risk when it comes to climate-related topics or others, as well as enhanced reputation and improved financial performance because you have more transparency and visibility across.
Okay, that is great to understand, because I think there is often a confusion between what is ESG and CSR. So can you explain to us and highlight the difference between ESG, that you have mentioned, that is environmental, social, and governance, with the CSR, that is corporate social responsibility, and how these contribute to our company?
I think there's an essential difference between ESG and CSR. CSR is, to me, a bit of an outdated concept. It used to have a broad focus on philanthropic activities, so charitable activities, community engagement, and it wasn't always tied to measurable outcomes or impact. It was more about doing good, right? ESG is more of an extension that focuses on measurable factors like emissions, like diversity factors, like board structure, and this can then help and inform investment decisions and risk. So I think these are the core differences. And to me, sustainability is kind of like the overall umbrella that is even much broader than this.
Okay, so to make it in a sentence, for me, it's like if we are just focus in CSR, we are not helping, well, I think that you say it's more philanthropic, but sometimes we don't focus in maybe just social, and maybe we forgot about the environment. But if we are more focused in the ESG, we have the three, because we have covered environmental issues, social issues, and also the governance inside or core of the business, no?
Very true. Yes, correct. You're absolutely correct. I think CSR traditionally had more of a social focus. Yes.
Okay. So, so ESG has a, you have mentioned that it has different types of the, how to say, parameters, no? So these parameters that we use in the sustainability report. So can you explain us what is the materiality in sustainability reporting, and why is important to the business to understand this this topic for the stakeholders or for own business? So what are your insights?
Yeah, so materiality is really the starting point of your ESG journey or sustainability journey. That's where you establish what is really important to the company. If you look at ESG or sustainability, there's a very broad spectrum of metrics and aspects that we can look into. But if we look at each company and each industry, it's slightly different. To each company, there are certain things that have a different importance, right? So you will start with a materiality analysis, and a materiality analysis is conducted with all of your stakeholders. It is like a survey that you do with your investors, your shareholders, your senior management, all of your employees, your suppliers, sometimes academia, depending on what industry you're working in. It could be with regulators and government bodies, and you get all of their feedback. And what they really get back to you on are questions around what is important to them when dealing with your company and in relation with environmental aspects. You will then be able to establish a matrix and see what are the top 3 to 5 topics that are so important for everybody. And these are the ones that you will probably build your strategy around.
Okay, so the important thing, as you mentioned, is to know what is important for everybody, because sometimes if we focus only in our solution, maybe we are not solving the problem of the client or the most important stakeholders, no?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, think about it. A CFO, for example, in a company, his prime focus will be to reduce cost and to maximize profits, right? And if we only ask this person, we will get a very narrow view of what matters to the company. I think we need to include everybody in that conversation, and particularly our customers, which, by the way, I forgot to mention, because they are the ones we're serving in the end, right? So they're an important stakeholder in the business.
Yes. Yes, because I see sometimes some of the solutions, they forgot to customize. They forgot to think about the customer, what are the needs, what are the pains. And I think when you are given a strategy, you have to think about how you're going to solve the problem for your customers, because you are selling to a people. So it's people to people. Mm. For you, what do you think that is the weight of a sustainability report? So what is the main purpose of sustainability reporting, and how does it contribute to create more sustainable future in our business?
I think the primary focus of a sustainability report is to transparently communicate what a company's sustainability performance is, and communicate this publicly to their stakeholders, investors, employees, and the communities at large. And I think it holds them accountable, right? When you publish a sustainability report, you can be held accountable for what you publish there. Plus, over the years, you can demonstrate progress. You probably, if you have done a materiality analysis and set a strategy and targets, you, over time, you will track those and demonstrate how you're progressing on those. And it's really important for transparency. It's also important for comparability, to compare what one company is doing versus another, right? Are they on the same track? Let's say two companies have a net zero target, but really in a sustainability report, you will see what does this mean in detail? What are they doing in detail to achieve those targets? And they may be different, but you will be able to then actually see it transparently and compare it. And for me, it's really about accountability, driving progress forward, and building trust with your stakeholders. Because when you publish it transparently, it generates trust, right? You're not hiding anything. You're showing everything that you're doing. And I think that's very important and part of sustainability.
Yes, I think that we can, I relate this topic when you go to the gym and you take a picture. So it's good to have that picture because after 1 year, you see the results. So the sustainability report, yeah. You have the picture, you have the, it's printed, and then you can compare yourself, how is your performance. And one of the things is if you don't have something tangible, sometimes you just say, okay, I improve it. But no, when you see it as a photograph, you say, okay, I'm working, or I'm doing good, or I'm doing bad.
Exactly. It's a very good example. And probably when you take that picture at the gym, you have set yourself a target or a goal, right? So you're tracking how you're doing towards that goal. And I think that's also very important. So in addition to the reporting, you have to set certain targets that you then also publish so that you can, compare your progress against.
Yes. So that leads us to measuring impact, why it's important to have metrics, because if we don't measure what we are doing, we don't know the performance. So for these new people that are in about what is metrics, what kind of indicators, in a simple way, how we can measure the impact of their initiatives with these metrics.
So I think as a company, you start with the simple metrics that are related to your ESG impacts. So this could be your electricity usage, your water usage, your waste management. And then on the social side, you could measure employee satisfaction. You could look at your diversity. And these are metrics, right? You could see how many women do you have in senior leadership, for example. On the governance side, it's really around board composition. It's around, do you have anti-bribery policies? Do you have a code of conduct? Do you ensure anti-money laundering practices and so on, anti-corruption? And you can evidence those, right? And these are also measurable targets. And there are frameworks available that will help you and guide you and show you what are the key metrics that you should be tracking against. And probably when you start on your journey, you may not have 100 or 150 metrics. You will start with something simple to just see where do you stand and where are probably your biggest emissions. And then you can work from there and set some targets to reduce those.
Okay. For you, what will be the recommendation? What kind of standard is the most used or the most recommended here in the MENA region?
I think from what I've seen so far, and when the government actually started or initiated encouraging sustainability or ESG disclosures, they were really aligning this to the GRI framework. But going forward, I believe that with Europe implementing ISSB, which is the new international standard under the IFRS accounting board, I think this will probably become the new standard, which is a combination of existing frameworks like SASB and GRI, and there will probably be an angle of TCFD. I know these are all very complicated acronyms and a lot of people get very confused by it. But I think start with GRI. I think for most companies, GRI will be the easiest and the most straightforward to start with. And there are a lot of online resources available that can help you to, that have guidance there and that can help you break it down. I would also recommend looking at the Science Based Targets Initiative to look at what is meant by scope one, scope two, scope three emissions. Where do they sit? They also have industry specific guidelines. This can also be very helpful. I think these are probably the two areas I would first look at, and ISSB to me will be probably the standard going forward.
No, and that is good that you mentioned, because yesterday I was on a roundtable and most of the new people that want to be more technical in sustainability, they don't know where to start. There are a lot of certifications and they say, well, I have my background in finance and chemical and engineering and aviation, so where I can start? So we are discussing that and we say, okay, I think one advice is, well, we can follow like a leader as you, because you have a recognition to be in the most influential women in the Middle East, so you know what is happening and you know these new trends and what is the innovation that is going to happen in, maybe because you know you are surrounding these people. So it's good that you if you are listening to us, you follow Nadia and the other girls. So
thank you so much. But I also think look at what are your competitors doing. Look at other markets that are maybe more advanced in reporting. So for example, let's say you're in the construction sector, right? Look at some companies in Europe, because Europe is quite advanced in reporting and disclosure. Look at some companies there. What are they disclosing? What kind of frameworks are they using? In most cases, they will mention which frameworks they're using and what metrics they're following. I think that's a good way also to look at what are maybe some standards to follow. And it really varies across industries. So I think look at someone that is within your industry, because then you'll get something that you can maybe benchmark against.
That's a good advice. So come back to the innovation, because we have seen that now sustainability is evolving so fast. So what is your insights or for the innovation that is happening now in the sustainability?
I think there's lots of innovation happening in sustainability and particularly also in the developing world, because they have to. So sometimes markets that don't have access to everything actually innovate much faster because they have to. What I love about sustainability is that it's such a collaborative space. You will find that people are very supportive, and I would really recommend look at trends, connect with people, connect with others, connect with networks. There are so many cross-industry networks, even here in the UAE, where people are very supportive and helpful for each other. That's where you can learn, you can look at new solutions, you will see a lot of startups entering the market. There are a lot of startup competitions as well, which I think are very interesting. I believe there are lots and lots of opportunities to see innovation, to be part of innovation, or to learn from innovation in the region, but also globally.
Okay. And what is your... because after the COP28 that was hosted here in Dubai and the UAE, so how is the impact of ESG in the region? And there is a specific opportunity, so you see there are more challenges, or what is the post COP28?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm an optimist. So I believe that COP28 helped increase awareness in the market and in the region. I've seen a lot more companies becoming active in this space because there was such a buzz around COP28 in Dubai. I believe it will also drive regulation forward, because now the UAE in particular has recently published a net zero strategy, where they also indicated some new policies that will be introduced. So I think we will see more movement around that. we definitely need, and hopefully we'll see more movement in the finance market. We need to mobilize more capital for the transition to also support the SME sector and all companies actually embarking on this sustainability journey for that green transition. I also believe that there will be new business opportunities, hopefully new job creation, new partnerships that will be formed. We can see that there's more activity in the market. If I can maybe name a few challenges as well, I think a challenge that prevails is around greenwashing. I think we have to be careful because some companies get very eager and they want to communicate certain things that they're doing. But some of it might be seen as greenwashing because it actually doesn't substantiate a positive impact or a real impact that is measurable, that they can actually demonstrate transparently. So I think we need to be careful around the way we communicate. I think we still need better infrastructure to implement certain solutions. So if we're thinking about the EVs, more EVs coming into the market, we need a charging network, we need the infrastructure for that, we need more public transport. And I mean, we've seen some announcements recently where more public transport will be made available. So I think there will be movement. And I think we need to continue to communicate, to collaborate, to commit and transparently commit to targets and demonstrate that we're progressing forward.
Okay, and just highlighting the greenwashing, what would be your advice for the people to avoid that? How they can do it? Because I think sometimes there are just, they have lack of information, no? It's not in purpose, I hope.
I think, yes. I think some people are not bad intentioned. They just, like you said, have a lack of awareness and they communicate something that they believe is a good thing, but actually it isn't, or it doesn't really have enough substance to make a difference in sustainability, right? I mean, one contentious topic always is recycling, like how much recycling is really happening. Can you really prove that you're recycling? Just because you sorted it in your office doesn't necessarily mean the items are being recycled, right? So you have to make sure that you know where this waste is going and what's happening with it, right? So be careful around such statements, or be careful around statements around reducing carbon footprint if you can't really evidence that that is really what's happening through your initiative. So be careful around the way you communicate. Make sure that you measure and you track appropriately, and be responsible around that. And like you said earlier, also always remember, ultimately everything is about people. Make sure you involve people. I think that's really important.
I think that you sum up very good all the points that the people has to take in account to avoid the greenwashing. And for this, how do you see that about the sustainability reporting? You see that is an increase of people they want to report, or there are there is an evolution in that area, or it's the same?
I think there is an evolution. I think that people are probably rethinking the way that they report, and revisiting whether a 150-page report is the right approach, or whether it would be better to just publish the metrics in an integrated sustainability disclosure. I still feel that there are companies that are hesitant because they're worried that, you know, they may not be doing as well as they should, or they're really not sure how to publish it, what to put in there. And my recommendation would be start simple. Don't try to overdo it and complete everything. start with the metrics that you have available and then build upon this, right? I also feel like rather do a few things very good instead of trying to do 100 things like not so good, right? So I think start with the metrics that are easy to determine and then look at what the company's core business is and what's really material and important and focus on those to begin.
Thank you, Nadia. So I think that you mentioned something that is important, that sustainability is a journey. It's not just 1 year. It's a long-term relationship, and it's better to start with a step, and then you can create the roadmap for the long term. So to close this amazing interview, because we can talk hours with you, what will be your key recommendations for the SMEs or the entrepreneurs that want to adopt more the ESG in their core of the business?
I really think start with the materiality. Look at your business and see what is really material to your business and where is the biggest thing. For example, if you're sourcing material from certain countries where there may be environmental issues, look into this, right? If you're purchasing products from countries that are highly affected by climate, that's something to look into, right? If you work in an area that has a lot to do with fossil fuels, that's probably a very big area to look into. Look into your energy consumption, where you purchase your energy from, what kind of energy you purchase. Look at water consumption. I think water security and water is so important in this part of the world. I know we open the tap and water just comes out, so it's difficult to understand that there may be a water security issue, but I think understanding where your water comes from and how it is produced is very important as well as part of your environmental journey. Food security, food waste, very important area to look into, plastic usage. There are such like main topic areas that I think every company can look into and start with. And then build upon it.
Thank you so much, Nadia, for sharing your expertise with our audience. Here we know that is connect with us. We are Conexión Circular. So sustainability and beyond is not just a motto; it's a call to action to everybody. So because every action that you perform has an impact in everybody, because we are connected. So don't forget that. Thank you and good afternoon.
Thank you.